Picture a world where we've been handed a map to happiness that actually leads us straight into disappointment. For nearly three centuries, we've been following the script of Romanticism, a seductive ideology promising that true love means instant attraction, perpetual passion, and effortless understanding. We've absorbed this narrative through countless films, novels, and love songs until it feels like biological truth rather than cultural invention. Yet relationship dissatisfaction has reached record levels despite unprecedented freedom to choose our partners. What if the problem isn't that we're choosing wrong, but that we're following a fundamentally flawed blueprint? This isn't about becoming cynical. It's about developing a more psychologically mature vision of love that might actually work. Think of it as trading fairy tales for something far more valuable, realistic tools for building connections that last. Romanticism promises that when you know, that discussing money cheapens love, and that great relationships feel effortless. These beautiful-sounding ideas have created a generation of perpetually disappointed lovers. When relationships inevitably fall short, when sex becomes routine, when finances need discussion, when our partner's habits irritate us, we don't question the script itself. We assume we've chosen the wrong person. What we need is a classical vision, acknowledging uncomfortable truths. Love and sex don't always align. Discussing money is necessity, not betrayal. No single person fulfills all our needs. Friendships matter. Understanding requires conscious effort, not intuition. Those trivial domestic matters, dishwasher loading, bedroom temperature, deserve attention because they become major conflict sources. This shift isn't about lowering expectations, but redirecting them toward what matters, developing emotional intelligence and practical skills rather than waiting for mythical perfect chemistry to solve everything. Why do we choose the partners we do? Romanticism suggests we should follow our feelings toward kind people who'll meet our needs. But the troubling truth? We fall for those who'll love us in familiar ways, even when those ways are painful. Our childhood templates for love often included destructive dynamics, helping out-of-control adults, being deprived of warmth, fearing anger, feeling chronically insecure. These early experiences create unconscious patterns determining our adult attractions. We may consciously seek intelligence or kindness, but we're often fatally drawn to problematic traits, someone emotionally unavailable, dismissive, or reminiscent of difficult parental figures. That initial chemistry, that sense of having found the one, is often our unconscious recognizing a familiar emotional landscape, not compatibility. Consider, the person I fall in love with always seems to. Maybe they're slightly distant, requiring you to prove your worth. Maybe they're chaotic, needing your stability. These patterns make psychological sense, but rarely lead to happiness. Breaking them requires self-examination, asking what qualities instantly repel us, what traits our exes share. Understanding these patterns doesn't guarantee immediate change, but recognizing our emotional ball and chain makes us less likely to mistake instant attraction for destiny. Ever notice how minor disagreements suddenly explode into warfare? Your partner suggests a different clothing style, and you feel overwhelming anger that surprises even you. These overreactions stem from unresolved past traumas, what psychologists call transference. That clothing suggestion might trigger disproportionate agitation because it echoes a controlling parent who used wardrobe choices as domination. Our unconscious mind mistakes crude correspondences, someone we love, or a person offering advice, triggering rigid responses that don't match present circumstances. These patterns surface most in intimate relationships, where our defenses are lowered. The mature approach? Accept with humility that you might be projecting childhood dynamics onto current relationships. When your partner seems unreasonably upset, try asking, "I wonder if something from your past is being triggered right now." When you feel yourself overreacting, pause to question whether your response truly fits the situation. Disentangling these patterns requires patience, but the reward is greater capacity for fairness, distinguishing between threats from our past and the actual intentions of our current partner. Survival requires emotional defenses and controlled self-revelation. Yet, intimacy demands vulnerability, dependence, and surrendered autonomy. This makes closeness frightening. Our partners access our most fragile selves, creating persistent anxiety about abandonment or betrayal. We respond through avoidant behavior, emotional distance, or anxious patterns, clinginess, control. Both are disguised pleas. Do you still want me? Paradoxically, we often pair with opposite attachment styles, the anxious drawn to avoidant self-sufficiency, the avoidant to anxious expressiveness. These attractions later become conflict sources. Healthy relationships normalize this fragility and embrace regular reassurance. Even after years together, partners need to hear, "I really need you. Do you still want me?" Insecurity isn't weakness, but evidence of genuine investment, of placing something precious in another's hands. The strongest relationships aren't insecurity-free, but those where partners acknowledge vulnerabilities without shame and respond to reassurance needs with patience rather than frustration. We often wonder why our partners can't simply change their flaws, but here's a calming truth. What we perceive as failings are actually the inevitable downsides of the very qualities that attracted us initially. Every strength necessarily brings an associated weakness. The spontaneous, fun partner who lights up every party struggles with planning and reliability. The analytically brilliant mind that fascinates us can become pedantic. The attentive partner who anticipates your needs might also need frequent reassurance. The confident, independent type might struggle with emotional vulnerability. This understanding demolishes the myth of the flawless partner. Different people offer different strengths, but they inevitably come with corresponding weaknesses. Instead of asking, "Why can't you be different?" we might ask, "What strength lies within this apparent weakness?" This perspective fosters gratitude rather than resentment, helping us remember why we chose this person. Recognizing this pattern doesn't mean tolerating genuinely destructive behavior. It invites us to see irritating qualities as the necessary flip side of what we value most. Our culture sells fairy tales as relationship blueprints, leaving us searching for a mythical perfect match. But love isn't just a feeling, it's a skill requiring patience, practice, and conscious development. True success comes not from finding someone who matches our fantasies, but from developing the emotional intelligence to navigate inevitable challenges with grace. This means learning to communicate about difficult topics, managing expectations realistically, and finding joy in ordinary moments. It means recognizing that our partners are separate people with their own needs, that early harmony gives a misleading image of long-term love, and that discovering differences isn't growing apart, but truly getting to know someone. We all carry childhood wounds, we'll take turns needing patience and offering it, and daily frictions reveal our capacity for compromise. Most importantly, it means approaching love with both realism and hope, lowering expectations for perfection while raising commitment to growth. The goal isn't eliminating conflict, but building a relationship where both people feel supported in becoming their best selves while being accepted for who they are now. The deepest love grows not from perfect compatibility, but from willingness to see each other clearly, wounds and all, and choose connection anyway. That's not settling. That's wisdom.